Now, Andrew, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I got to know. Do you say Pete Buttigieg or Pete Buttigieg?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. I truly, I'm not ever going to find out.
You can do either one. You can say Buttigieg or you can say Buttigieg if you say it fast. That comes straight from the man's husband. That's what he said on Twitter. He gave us a little pronunciation guide, and I was pleased about that.
You're about it. Well, we're doing another promo within a promo, but someone actually hit us up on the, not the voicemail, but on our, I think it was on the Instagram, that was like, who you guys like the best from other, I'm really excited about Pete Buttigieg. And I didn't respond yet because I don't know how. Anyway, maybe this ad will be this person's responses. We don't know. Or I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah.
Well, you know what this ad is?
Mm.
We haven't told you yet.
Yeah.
It's a promo for Fake the Nation. With primaries just a short 11 months away, it is time to know your Pete Buttigieg is from your Amy Klobuchar is. That makes now the perfect time to jump into Earwolf's political comedy podcast, Fake the Nation.
That's a political podcast, not, of course, a Pokemon ranking podcast, which is a little bit more what these names sound like to me. Fake the Nation is hosted by Najin Farsad. Maybe if you go back in the archives, you can find an episode guest hosted by a certain Tawny Newsome and a certain Andrew T. But the show features fast-paced, funny, smart political discussion about the week's news.
It's comedy meets politics that helps you stay informed while not taking itself too seriously.
Some amazing past guests on Fake the Nation have included friends of this show, Paula Tompkins, Rhea Butcher, Hayes Davenport, John Lovett. Again, can't stress enough, Andrew T. and Tawny Newsome. You've never been a guest either, right? We were guest hosts, but
no,
we've never been guests.
We were guest hosts. So we were never guests.
And we never will be.
No, that's not true. We will definitely
do it. We
like
it. Seems
show.
Like, yeah, we'd love to be on it.
Check out Fake the Nation wherever you listen.
Do it. The National Abortion Access Bowl-a-thon is here.
That's right. Every April, supporters just like you fill the budgets of local abortion funds in an awesome display of collective power.
Online and at over 60 events that are, you know, live and in-person type of events, they're raising $2 million for people who need abortions.
Bring the fun to fundraising with teams like Gay Witches for Abortion, love that one, Black Girl Magic, and Thoughts and Spares.
Not improv teams, we don't think.
I mean, they could be.
They're probably both. Probably both. Abortion gets harder to access every day. So how about join today at bowlathon.nnaf.org. And follow along on social media at #bowl19.
Yeah, that's bowlathon.nnaf.org.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to a special episode of Yo, Is This Racist? Because Tawny is in New York City.
But I'm still in your ears.
It's true. It's really true. Tawny, how's New York?
So it's special in that I'm different. But for you guys, the net result is largely the same.
It'll sound about the same. Well, producer Jordan is on vacation, and initially I thought that producer Zig, or engineer Jordan, was on vacation. Producer Zig, I thought, was also going to be on vacation, and I thought I was going to have to sit in the studio all by myself with like strange substitutes that I was just going to have to pretend were normal, and you would be on the phone, and I was legitimately a little sad and scared.
Oh, yeah. It would have been weird. You would have just been sipping some, like, just a weak broth, just wrapped in a shawl, just wishing that you had your familiar friends.
Yeah. It's a plot of Us.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it.
It's just basically all the subs would be the evil version of Zig and Jordan. Anyway. And I guess a telephone line would be the evil version of Tawny, which that is pretty much actually true.
Now, a telephone is the evil version of me?
Yeah. Is that the good version
of
you?
I don't know. It feels like you get less of my like over it facial expression. So it seems like the telephone is a little more polite.
You know what? I like the phone. Maybe you're the evil version of the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Beyonce Lady Gaga song, right?
But yeah, how's New York? What are you doing out there?
New York is sunny and springtimey and pretty. I'm here doing the AMC Network Summit for my shows on IFC, which are in the AMC family, I guess. I don't know how all these networks work. Everybody seems like they're all friends, or maybe they own each other. So I'm just like, cool. Thanks for the crudité.
That's what friends do. Friends own each other.
Yep.
Like it all.
But yeah. I'm here doing press for Brockmeyer, and then for another IFC show that I got to be part of called Sherman Showcase. That'll be out in July. Brockmeyer is, of course, out now. Doing plugs now at the beginning because I'm out of sorts and because I've been in press mode all day.
Yeah, watch we Brockmeyer.
Just building. Watch. Someone gives you a tiny water, and then they like tell us about being on set, and you're just like, "What? Am I allowed to swear? Is this television? Is this AOL? I don't know what this is."
Just make sure to have a big old slice of New York pizza.
Oh, yeah. New York pizza pie bagel every day.
Just only pizzas. We didn't even, mostly because Tawny's been out of town, we didn't do our usual amount of sending shit back and forth on the text thread because I also knew that this was going to be the week where, since there was black people and country music, I kind of figured Tawny would want to talk about that. Is that true? Am I springing this on you? Old Town.
I actually didn't.
Oh my gosh! I'm going to tell you some news. All right. So it's called "Old Town Road." It's a song by a guy named Lil Nas X. That is basically like trap music about like horses and cowboys and shit. And it was on the Billboard country charts. I think it's something, climbing the charts until Billboard was like, this isn't country. We're taking it off.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because he's black is why they did it. And
but the genre is trap and the content is country?
I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to age me severely. It just reminded me of all those like Pimp C albums, the UGK albums that were like, we're doing country trill raps. And it was like a lot of like trap beat, twanging guitars, a little twanging guitars. And like, you know, the hook was like literally about bringing your fucking horse. It feels like designed to be the loading screen for Red Dead Redemption 4 or whatever the next one is.
Well, I'm annoyed they took it off because if Limp Bizkit could be on the fucking rap charts, you'd think we could all bend a little bit, you know?
Great point. Well, yeah, and it was just one of those things that was like so clearly. I mean, it's the same as like when we'll call them, you know, a certain kind of country music fan was mad that Beyonce was at the CMT Awards.
Right.
If you know what we're getting at. Because again, Beyonce is from fucking Texas. She knows.
Yeah, man. She country as hell.
Yeah.
Like literally country. She is from the country.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Then, well, thank you for telling me about this.
Well, there's a little more. So then there's a remix of that song now that has Billy Ray Cyrus on it. And I think Zig can give me a through the window fact check that is on the country charts. Yeah.
Oh.
So basically, now that Billy Ray Cyrus has co-signed it, it is eligible to be a piece of country music.
Oh, well, God bless the USA. I'm just so glad that a white man got on and co-signed this work. I'm kind of like, I'm half surprised that I don't know about it, but I'm also not because like, any of the music world that I've run in is none of that stuff can ever chart. I have this friend, he's this wonderful musician named Robbie Foulkes, who, if you don't know his music, you should go check him out. But he's an incredible country artist. He has this beautiful voice. He's got this voice like old timey country dudes did. And he plays guitar like a motherfucker. And because he sings about like atheism and shit and just like God not being real, I mean, he'll never chart. Like, mainstream country is just like not, he's not one of ours.
Yeah.
So, and that's just even a regular white dude. And so I'm just like, those charts are bullshit. But I'm glad that this black guy has some notoriety now? I don't know.
No, this just was one of those moments where truly I was like, as I was saying this, I was like, man, this is like a black person in country, and there's a decent chance there's like almost no creative overlap with Tawny other than a general like demographic one.
The fact that I don't even know about him is like not even that wild to me. It's just like,
yeah, it's a banger for the kids, and I think the listeners by now should have a pretty good idea of how we feel about music for the kids. We too old for that shit, or I am too old.
We love the kids,
you know. We love the kids. Please listen to our podcast.
I love what the kids love. I'm very young. The kids love our podcast. Yeah. Oh, kids be bumping in on this. I'm on the New York City subway every day while I'm here, and the kids are just bumping our pod.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was honestly my main news. The only other depressing link is that there's been a spate of black churches that have been set on fire. Three black churches have burned in 10 days. In a single Louisiana parish. That's the New York Times headline.
Yeah, that story is wild too, because I love in the article, it's like, authorities are unclear if racism is a factor, which is just like, it's three black churches. Like, I don't care if someone wrote die black people, or I don't even know what,
yeah.
Racism is a factor, because that is one of the three main things linking all of them. I feel very dumb saying this, but it's just like, that was a dumb thing to write, and you know, or for the authorities to say, like, of course racism is a factor.
Well,
even if the arsonist only got the idea because black churches throughout history have often been burned down, like that, that's what I mean when, like, we're talking about racism just being so baked into the fabric of this country.
Yeah,
that it doesn't have to be a conscious factor for it still to be a factor in a modern day act of terrorism like that.
It's also like one of those things where, like, I mean, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we were just talking about how there were those new AP guidelines about how to talk about race, that like, we're living in a time with so much fucking open racism, you know, that's back. Like, it's not like so much more racism, but it's more open now. Just like, really, I guess it's just that we're living in a world of allegedlies and, you know, racially charged
kids
and whatnot, but this is fucking pathetic.
You know what's wild is after we did that episode, I listened back because a friend mentioned like liking an episode or something, and I went and listened back to it to remind myself what we talked about. And I used the phrase racially charged like four times. And I was like, I wonder when this crept into my, because I think of it as a word I don't use, but clearly I do and have on the show. And I think it's literally like, you know, when you start using something as a way to talk about it ironically or sort of make fun of it or to quote it, and then it just accidentally slips into your vocabulary and you stop distinguishing.
How I say bro. I'm just a bro person now. Yeah. I mean, I will say, I don't use it as much as you, but I will say racially charged when I'm around the type of white people that it will become a fucking whole discussion if I don't say racially charged.
If by using
the more cowardly phrase, we can avoid a conversation that's only about the use of the phrase or the use of the alternative phrase, racist as fuck.
Racist.
That's the only time I do it, I think. I don't fucking know. It's,
well, that's good that you're aware of it. I was just realizing I'm not even aware of it. So,
that's true.
I'm going to be more aware.
I'm doing it this is in hindsight. I don't know if I'm that aware of it in the moment, but I'm pretty sure that's how I act. I don't know. Listeners, find us, hang out with us for a couple of years, and then let us know.
Clip out all the examples of us saying it and send it to us.
Yeah, please. And then one last quick piece of news. Fucking racist Christian Nielsen stepping down at Department of Homeland Security. She's the one responsible for ripping families apart at the border. I don't know. Fuck her. Fuck anyone that's going to attempt to rehabilitate her. I think she's already trying to position herself as one of the people that was like, I was just trying to help. I never liked doing all this Nazi shit that I am responsible for. fuck her, fuck Donald Trump, obviously, fuck whoever is going to be the next person to take the job. We all need to help everyone else. I don't know what to say.
I like that now you're starting to just fuck future people. You're like, fuck you before, fuck you from over there, fuck you who maybe is thinking about doing this shit in the future.
Honestly, kind of, though. But yeah, this is the ghost of fuck you's past, present, and future. Coming.
Ooh, I can't wait to eat that great big turkey and the duck one. Wasn't there a big like cornucopia feast meal?
Is there a goose ultimately in the Christmas?
You know what I want to hear quickly?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I do. I'm putting you on the spot, but producer Zig, maybe some of you saw on Twitter, producer Zig got pulled over week and he's fine, but I just kind of wanted to hear from you in your own words, like what went down? Because you said something kind of funny on the text chain about it, but what happened?
All right, so admittedly, my registration was out. So I was just on the way to Earwolf to produce this hot content that I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pulled over like literally like two blocks away, and like instantly I'm sweating because like I've never had to deal with the LAPD, and the, everyone I think knows they have a long history of abuse. I will say that the officers were fine. They were nice, but there was definitely so there were two of them. They pulled me over. One of them instantly was like, roll down your windows. Like, all right, that makes sense. They're like, no, roll down all your windows. I was like, all right, that's a new one for me. So
what
one of them
is the point.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I guess they, I don't know. I have no idea why. One of them posted up like alongside the car, like on the corner, I guess, to make sure I wouldn't make any like sudden movements, while the other one like ran my tags or whatever. And it was just strange, like knowing that someone was like watching me with like their hand, like not on their gun, but like they could definitely draw it if need be. I guess they decided that I was like going to wild out. But like the whole process was like, it was quote unquote fine, but it was very nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Like I was definitely like stuttering a little bit. Like I forgot my address that I lived at, that I've been living at for 3 years. And it's just, I don't know. That was like the crux of it. Like that was the soup to nuts. But also like my mother like worked in law enforcement, so like I've been around them for a while. Like I'm used to like dealing with them. So it was very strange dealing with like the ones, like I think they're up there with the NYPD as far as like ones that I'm the most nervous to be around.
Yeah. Chicago's not great. Yeah. Baltimore's not great either. But yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we're glad you're okay, man. I mean,
thank you.
And just, I mean, I guess for perspective from people that are like, see, it wasn't a big deal. He didn't know it was going to be not a big deal. And, you know, lots of people of color, but especially black and brown people, can never know it's not going to be a big deal.
Right.
That's the fucking
And the anxiety that you feel. And like, you know, you described just stuttering, but imagine someone with less composure than you, Zig, who maybe doesn't like have a job where he interacts with a ton of people every day. Like for a person of color to then get pulled over by the cops and know that your life could be in danger. You don't always, this is why when people are like, just comply with police, just do what they say. It's like sometimes the level of anxiety of literally fearing for your life because you know what they're capable of causes you to act in a way that might look like you're not complying just because you're simply scared.
Yeah. So I literally forgot my address.
Yeah.
Forgot my home address.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, well, thanks for talking about it. And
yeah, anytime.
Glad you're good. And yeah, get those plates renewed. Mine are also expired. This was a nice wake-up call.
Y'all are. This is all three people on this have, within the last month, had something expired. I after my birthday, I went to a bar, and the guy was like, yo, your license has been expired for like 2 weeks. And I was like, huh. Cool.
Oh, well, this is a podcast where we all learn to get our life right.
Barely. We got to talk to Sherry Cola on this episode. She is insanely funny. She is incredible.
Yeah. Cool as hell. Very comfortable. Felt like I'd known her for years.
Damn. Truly the fucking coolest. Here's Sherry. Oh, wait. This is actually perfect. A perfect ad for us. The sleepiest podcast of all time. Who's sleepier, me or you, Tony?
I think we're both pretty sleepy.
I know.
Like, I think you're sleepy and you don't fight it, whereas I fight it. I try to overcome and seem fun.
Yeah. That actually is probably really correct. Because I'll be like, it's 10:38. I'm out. But you know what else? Lisa, the mattress, not a person. the mattress company, knows how important rest is to a better life.
Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you, you guys.
Again, the mattress company, not a cult leader or anything like that. It's fine. We're fine. All Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed and to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you want to spend time in.
I one time wanted to turn my bedroom into like a butterfly sanctuary, you know, at a zoo where you can go to like a hot, humid room full of like 1,000 butterflies.
Mm-hmm. Fill it with bugs. That's the Tawny Newsome experience.
But, or instead, I could just get a Lisa mattress, and that seems less nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
what I got is I got that standard Lisa mat. I got that the most popular multi-layer foam mattress. And you know what? It's made with premium foams for cooling, contouring, and pressure-relieving support. It's a regular foam party in there.
Tawny might be standard, but I'm a little bit hybrid. The Lisa Superior.
Ooh, this is our hybrid. Johnny and Marie number.
Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. The Superior is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds.
Because you know what? Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation.
Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits.
But like, how many butterflies have they put in someone's room?
Oh, man. That's the newest Lisa mattress. Bag of butterflies that they'll just deliver to your house.
It's actually not something to sleep on. It's just something to drive you slowly mad.
Yeah, bag of butterflies. It just gets in your brain. Okay, back to the copy. In-home delivery is available as well as financing. Did I say that already? I don't remember.
You definitely did not, because I went on a butterfly tangent. You guys, I am someone who has always liked to sleep close to the ground. I know that's a weird thing to say, but it's true. I don't like being high up in a bed. I like being close to the ground. I like so that my cat has a small distance to go from the floor onto my body. And with my Lisa mattress, you know, you put it right on that little platform, and you're nice and close to the ground so that your cat can crawl all over you without having to do a jumping action. This is true of me. I don't know why it sounds so weird. It's how I live.
I'm going to say, actually, I was a little skeptical about even wanting a new mattress, but I have to admit, I am significantly less tired on the Lisa mattress than I am normally, and that's a lot. Listen, I had a long way to go, but I'm heading there.
I love it. So listeners, tune in to listen for Andrew being noticeably less tired.
Oh, man. I also had so much coffee yesterday. It's unbelievable. Okay. Don't miss out. Live healthier. Live happier by resting deeper.
Order today. Get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/yo. Use promo code YO.
That's LEESA.com/YO. Promo code YO. Nailed it. Keep in mind that you get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns.
Whee!
What day would you say, Tawny, that is the day that... All right, sorry.
Keep going with this.
I was trying to make... I just... The today at the front of the ad copy is bothering. Okay, I'm going to read it. But we're keeping all this previous stuff in. Today, 43% of college grads are working underpaying jobs that don't require a degree.
Meanwhile, there are more than 200,000 unfilled tech jobs in high-growth, exciting industries and cities across the U.S. Guys, exciting cities. I'm talking Duluth, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Fort Lauderdale. I'm talking outer Philadelphia, New Paltz, New York. Any city you want to name, I bet, is on there or somewhere drivable to there.
That's correct, especially since cars can drive so far these days. The future...
Cars can drive so far.
20 miles? 20 miles seems so far.
Max.
The future of work is changing rapidly, and Flatiron School can give you the skills to build a career you love.
You know the courses they got. We've been talking about them all month. They got courses in software engineering, data science, UX design, UI design. Mm-hmm. That Flatiron School is helping change the future, providing the skills students need to succeed in the modern workforce.
They're also driving diversity in tech through scholarships like the 50-50 Gender Parity Scholarship and the Income Share Agreement to reduce upfront costs and provide a flexible financing option.
Best of all, Flatiron School grads work one-on-one with a dedicated career coach to land a job after they graduate or their money back. Complete details are available at flatironschool.com/terms, you guys. Not the you guys part, just terms. That's the end of it. flatironschool.com/terms.
What if the URL just said you guys and then a bunch of banter? Oh, wait, we have to read this next part verbatim.
Okay. Do it real.
Change things. Join the school of the future today.
Learn more at flatironschool.com/yo.
That's flatironschool.com/yo. Do you know you could actually get paid just for listening to this podcast?
No, I've been doing it backwards. I've been giving money to have the pleasure of doing this podcast. This sounds insane.
That part sounds insane. It's crazy, but it's true. You can do it with a new free app called Podcoin that literally pays you to listen to podcasts.
Here go how it works. You go listen to podcasts, you're going to earn Podcoin while you listen. Mm-hmm. Then turn that Podcoin in for gift cards to places like Amazon or Starbucks. Or if you're a good person, you could even donate that Podcoin to charity. The more you listen, the more you earn.
Download the Podcoin app right now on iPhone or Android, and use your code YO. You'll get 300 Podcoin just for signing up.
If you listen to enough of us on there, you can get a cappuccino at Starbucks or an Amazon gift card on us. Ooh, that rhymes.
So listen to this podcast or virtually any other podcast on Podcoin. Sign up with the free code YO, that's Y-O, to start earning today.
It'll change the way you listen to podcasts.
Sorry. I thought I could nail it.
No, it's great.
No, I have to. I might fake some stuff here too, but we'll see.
Oh, well.
You won't have
to. If you're going to fake stuff, why don't we tell people who you are? We have stand-up and actress Sherry Cola.
Yo. Hello. I am in here.
Hi.
It's cozy. It's nice.
You
it's
like
crisp.
It?
Yes. Thanks
cozy
for having me.
And, you don't often get cozy and crisp.
I was going to say I was a little chilly during the previous.
That's the crisp.
That's crisp.
Yeah. It's like a clean air, but also I feel good in this chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You've both described crispness and coziness perfectly. I believe it's because these studios are new, so there is not the funk and mold and grime
of our previous Earwolf studios.
Of our childhood.
Again, we're sort of like a combination between a basement and a prison.
Yeah. So this is very nice. Middle ground here. Best of both worlds.
Sherry, welcome. You're working on a cool show right now. It's called Good Trouble.
Yes.
It's on Freeform.
Yes, it is. Good Trouble. It's super dope. It's the spinoff of The Fosters. I don't know if you guys are familiar, which was on ABC/Freeform. And this follows the characters Sierra Ramirez and Maya Mitchell play Callie and Mariana. And they basically move to L.A. to, you know, live their adult lives in their 20s. And I'm in that world. And it's really cool. You know, it is a edgy, mature, upbeat, funny, sexy spinoff, but it still has the heart that the Fosters had, you know, just dealing with social issues and, important things. LaCroix's coming up a little bit.
Yeah.
A little burp.
That happens.
But yeah, it's really dope. I'm excited to be a part of the show that I truly feel like is important. So
that's great. Awesome. Who do you play in it?
I play Alice Kwan, who initially you meet her because she manages the apartment building that everyone lives in. Mm. So it's this space above the Palace Theater, like these lofts we call the coterie, which actually means like a community. I had to look it up. But it's just a bunch of us living together with a communal kitchen, communal bathroom. It's very much like this family of strangers, you know, kind of like the real world. And I come off as very like frantic, and I'm always, you know, providing free toilet paper, you know, and all that stuff. And then you find out more about me. I'm actually a first generation Asian American who is a lesbian and not out to her parents. So everyone of my friends kind of know. And then but my parents are more traditional, and I'm kind of just living this double life,
mm-hmm.
Which. Yeah, I'm so stoked to portray that character, you know, because, I mean, really, in my 20-something years, I never really saw a character like this, you know, go that deep in that story where she's literally so, you know, just struggling with who she is and kind of discovering to be more comfortable in her own skin. So, yeah, that's it's exciting to play Alice, for sure.
You mentioned the real world, and I was thinking about when I was in high school, and I feel like the reason I was drawn to the real world is because we weren't seeing characters like what you're describing, like the actual complex. Is that an interesting take?
Yeah, that is really interesting.
But like, really, I was trying to think, I'm like, where was I seeing even like queer characters or queer women who weren't like a specific type of lesbian, you know, like
you're kind
of a male gaze. And I feel like literally we were looking at the show called The Real World because they were like, these are the people that live in the real world, which sounds very reductive and cliche, but
it's facts. Well, that's actually really true. I never thought about it like that either, but it's like this Hollywood, you know, TV film world was like the fake world.
Yeah.
And then they actually provided that, you know,
for
gay.
I think that's a brief period of time. That was
of course,
was how The Real World started out. And
it was when my options were like Boy Meets World, Family Matters. So I was like, okay, am I a white nice family or a black nice family? And there's really nothing else.
Right. Well, same for me, you know, like growing up, like all I watched was like Fresh Prince and of course Friends and stuff like that. And it didn't even occur to me that there was no like Asian family on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And feel free to share your experience.
And every time there was an Asian family on the screen, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, like
they have to be kind of like this everything, like sanitized, easy joke kind of shit where you're like,
right.
And just the family unit being such a, I mean, I was just like a kid with divorced parents who never really was with them when they were married. So just even seeing so many like family comedies, I remember being like, this is a true story. My favorite show until I was like 14, probably was Mad About You.
Oh my God.
Which is just like Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt.
How funny.
30 something. I think because they didn't have kids.
Right.
They were just like living this urban life. So I think I saw myself like, well, my parents, they don't interact with me like we're a kid and parent family. We're kind of friends. When I grow up, I'll just probably like live in New York with my 30-something Jewish husband. Who knows?
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
So funny.
There was no show representing me.
Yeah. I mean, a same, you know, besides Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
There is a lot of, I was a little surprised by that, the number of like, I feel like it's like I'm just going to say it and assume maybe this is true. It feels like this is like a West Coast Asian person thing that are like, I really identified with Fresh Prince because I was like, I liked it. I'm not positive. Well, I guess the wealth kind of like skews it all over the place too. But it's just really interesting that I've heard it from sort of multiple people that grew up in like either LA or the Bay, Asian people.
Right.
They're like, Fresh Prince was the show I identified with. Like,
yeah, maybe it is a West Coast thing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I just really loved it. And
I
think Will Smith, I think just was a fan of Will Smith, still a fan. Like, feel like he's the person that
what
is my number one want
to
work with person, you know? What do you mean, whatever happened to him?
I'm sorry, I'm just joking.
Yeah, we don't see enough of him. God, his Instagram is still one of
what
my
did
favorite
he do?
Things.
I know.
I miss him.
He's his Instagram is like, he's killing it.
Yeah.
He's killing it. Will Smith, keep doing what you're doing.
Will Smith, you're doing it right. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Right.
I'm going to say, Will Smith, change it up.
Oh, and you always got to be a contrarian.
Figure it out, Will. Your career is in shambles.
You know what? There's hope. There's hope for Will, there is.
Yeah. If Will can make it, anyone can eventually
I wanted
to
be a genie. I was actually, runner-up for that role.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This close.
Yeah.
Avails.
It was my Avails.
You're too busy.
Yeah.
You're too busy. It's because they had you held for the carpet, right?
Yeah. So originally I was training, you know, just hitting the gym for carpet role.
Yeah, trying to get flat.
Trying to get real planky by doing planks.
Yep.
Believe it or not.
I will sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to interrupt to say it took me way too long to understand what you were saying about carpet. I forgot that was a character.
You forgot Carpet was a character?
I'm a straight.
The Carpet. Well, they were going to make it a lesbian story, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still in the works.
Yeah,
it'll
get there. I'm trying to think. Did we talk about this already? The insane picture of Will Smith as Genie.
I mean, it's not bad. It's just the ponytail that
the facial hair is not great.
Wait, yeah, I actually need to look at it again. I think the
jeweled
the
vest.
Hair.
It's a combination. There's one too many elements.
The look on his face is like, damn, dog. Whatever's happening here.
He lost the bet.
It's intense. Yeah.
You know what? I know we did already talk about this a while ago, but I was just thinking about how there's something about putting, it's not a cartoon, so there are real people on this thing, and putting two people of South Asian and Middle Eastern descent in front of a person who's just not, who's just like a black guy.
Right.
I feel like that's what makes it the most, because
it just looks,
there's real people from this.
Yeah.
You know, made up Disney created right. area. Yeah. But it just, that's the stark contrast where you go like, oh, right. This is a black American guy.
Oh, man. Should we do a voicemail? Do we want to keep this conversation going? Let's do it.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. I have a question. It's one that's very difficult right now. I have two kids, a stepdaughter and my son, and she's 15. And I'm half Puerto Rican, and my wife is half Irish, half Korean. That's inconsequential. But we live in Georgia, and currently there's a boy who wants to talk to my stepdaughter and, you know, possibly date. And my wife tells me he's a very nice young man and very respectful. But I also know from his Twitter page that he wears a red hat, a certain red hat. And I've made it very clear to my wife that, as far as I'm concerned, that hat is like wearing a Confederate flag, a white hood, or a swastika. So, and I've made that clear about anybody, not just him. So she's telling me I need to be nice to this boy, and, you know, because you might disagree politically and stuff, but I'm telling her that if this was a young man and he came by the house and he was wearing a swastika or any of the other ones, we would not be like, oh, well, you know, he's sweet and respectful, but he's really nice for a Nazi. So I need your advice on what I should do, because I'm already on edge when it's, you know, teenage daughter and boys coming around. But I'm also very strongly about this. So what should I do? Thanks.
Huh.
Ooh. Right.
So let's get this out of the way.
This is one of the best questions we've gotten in a long time.
This is a good question.
This is way deeper than I thought these voicemails was going to be.
You know, sometimes they're like, I'm white and the Taco Bell employee only ever gives me mild sauce.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of that, too. No, Andrew and I are not parents.
Same.
Sherry, same. I didn't know your life, Sherry. But so none of us are qualified to give parental advice. I'm just going to put that out there as a caveat.
Right. I do.
This isn't about parental advice, I feel like.
It's right.
Well, there is an element of it, which is like it does feel like there's a little bit of like the toxic masculinity, like stepfather, like I'm protecting my daughter kind of thing, intersecting with, just fucking don't let Nazis in your house.
Right. Yeah.
Super simple.
Yeah, you live in Georgia. You're already going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're going to be running into this a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, please go ahead.
I know I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
All right, let's break it down into the smallest pieces. So two people of color have a daughter who is of dating age, or a stepdaughter, whatever.
Right.
And one of this daughter's possible suitors or friends, let's just say friends, is a MAGA hat teen.
Mm-hmm.
Good week for MAGA hat teens, of course.
If
this was like adult people, if this was like, hey, my friend is considering dating something, it would be easy to be like, tell your friend fucking no way. And if you date this person, you're out of my life or whatever.
So is this a weird situation where he feels, or just we're opening the conversation to, because she's 15, she should be able to make her own decisions and decide if she supports the MAGA movement. Is that at all a thing? Like, is that what he's saying? Like, what is even the dilemma besides, well, no, you can't hang out with him?
That's why the weird thing about, that's why, like, I say the thing about being a parent.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that your dad gets to weigh in on who you date. But in this instance, I think that your dad's job is to protect you from hanging out with Nazis.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are separate in my mind, but they're converging in this instance. So I don't.
Well, right. There's like the sitcom version where you're like, teenagers are rebellious, and if you tell her not to do it, she's going to definitely do it and whatever. Right. And then there's the hopefully like decent relationship with your stepchildren version where it's like, and your wife, by the way. I think mm-hmm. the fact that the wife is like, he's a respectful kid, it's like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and that's a values thing that you and your wife need to come together on in yeah. a very fundamental level.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I wonder if there was even a conversation before this, like, scenario.
Yeah.
Like, are they on the same page about the yeah. MAGA thing?
Yeah, you know, especially if you're going to live in Georgia,
right,
where you see these people.
Yeah, it almost sounds like they haven't had those deep conversations about it yet.
Right.
Or
doesn't have to be that deep.
Or maybe something's different about the fact that the guy is, I don't know, maybe something about the kid to the mom is like, well, at least he's not, you know, maybe she's looking around at a bunch of other trash kids.
Yeah. Right.
And he seems like the least of the evils. Whereas
right.
I would say he is not.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think like, I know people differ on possibly even people in this room, but I'm like fully like, that kid is not nice and respectful.
Right.
If he wears a MAGA hat, like
right.
he's just not, like no one is in 2018, 19, 17 or 16.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I'm just trying to figure out what I would do in the scenario because yeah, same. Like, I don't think I should, you know, puppeteer my child's dating life. But at the same time, if it's this intense of a situation that I don't want her to be lured into, you know what yeah. I mean? Then like, what do you do?
I mean, I think, I don't know if this is a fair middle ground because I imagine the dynamics of, you know, fathers and daughters and stepfathers and stepdaughters, there may be an element of like, look, it's none of your fucking business. But it feels like since we're going so far afield from comedy and just giving real ass advice, which is like, get your wife, you and your wife on the same page and preferably your page and not her page because her page is trash and racist enabling, and then have a real conversation with your with her fucking, or maybe she has a conversation with her daughter about values and what people, you know, do and say and mean, and then let her make her own decision.
Yeah, that's true. I think getting on the same page as a couple first and like, what do we want our daughter to believe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I feel like the daughter already has, I mean, she's 15, right? Or
yeah.
did we just say that?
No, I think she's 15. She's 15.
Yeah.
She's 15. She knows in a lot of ways where her politics lie.
Yeah.
She knows, you know, who she sides with. She knows how she feels about the big issues. Yeah, her opinion, not that her opinions might not change, but when we were 15, we knew how we felt about gay marriage or how we felt about, you know, all of these things that is going to be the biggest. She knows how she feels about racism and bigotry. So ask her to grill him on those things, the boy.
Right.
Tell her to sit down with this boy and grill him on all of those things. Tell her to make a list. All the things that she holds valuable and, you know, the moral things that she believes in, and ask him to talk about what he, you know, just as even as friends, and see if you can still even hang around each other after that. Because I'm guessing if she takes this seriously and really does that, she'll come to it on her own. Because I don't think there's a way as parents you can say at 15, I don't. Right. I wouldn't have listened.
I mean, you can make it clear, though, this kid is not coming in your house.
Right.
Like, for those things. I know it may backfire, of course, but I just think, like, to the extent that you can be a good parent about it, like, but you also should not compromise basic morality for yourself, which is like, this kid ain't coming in my fucking house. He a Nazi.
Totally.
Right.
And that is, those work too, and those are bandages to, the root of the problem is that teenagers have a easy time often ignoring
I get it.
Deeper questions.
So. But I will say this, like, think about the number of calls we get that are like, I'm in a relationship and my boyfriend's really nice. I mean, he does say racist stuff mm-hmm. some of the time. What do I do? And it's like, this girl, it's like the... Like, she's the prototype of that. Right. And it's like, yeah. you know, without, like, doing too much racial math, like, you know, she's, like, Hapa maybe or something like
right,
that.
Right.
And his wife is half Korean. And it's like, you know, I'm going to just take a wild-ass stab in the dark and say sort of, like, white-presenting, someone who can, like, if she chooses not mm-hmm. be part, not be really affected by white supremacy or racism and that shit. Mm. And, like... Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I'm just saying, like, to the daughter, you're going to end up like one of the many nice white women that call in that are like, my significant yeah. other, like, yeah. my boyfriend is always saying racist stuff, but I've been with him for so long. And it's like, fucking get out. He's a bad person.
Yeah.
Which is why she's got to get to the root of it now.
Yeah.
Right. And decide then she, because I do believe that at 15, she can decide if she wants to be a racist.
Yeah.
For sure. The do you
it's
want
your
to be
right
a racist.
To decide if you, show. At 15, yeah. If you really look at it on paper and you're not ignoring it or whatever, if you really sit down and do the work to say what your beliefs are and you decide
right.
full Klansman, yeah. God bless.
Yeah, I think for sure parents get on the same page, talk to daughter. Daughter knows what's up, grills homeboy, decides yeah. in or out.
Yeah. I'm going to say the wildest thing
this to, is great. Sure,
to the caller, great. Honestly, though, like if you don't get on the same page with your wife, that's fundamental to me.
Yeah.
Like that's real. Like if your wife tolerates this, fucking think about your relationship and what kind of person she is, honestly. Yeah. But also think about what kind of person you are because you sound kind of overbearing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are all those things true?
Yeah. And it's society. Know. It's dads and daughter. I mean, he ends the call saying the most cliche thing, like, I'm already feeling this way because it's my daughter. It's like, throw all that shit out. Throw yeah. that shit out of your brain. You are feeling territorial because this is your home and you don't want to let a racist in.
Well, but you could also be both. He could also be feeling territorial because of fucked up masculinity, whatever.
Yeah, right. I'm just trying to tell him to actively work against that and look at what's important, yeah. which is not letting
you can not let this kid in your house. For race reasons yeah. and not make it about being paternalistic to your daughter.
Exactly. Right. You can not let him in just because it's fucking bad.
Oh, but fuck this kid.
I know. I want like more information. I want
we
updates.
We say that a lot. Yeah.
I want updates on this.
This guy might, all right, hit us up on Twitter, I guess. I will say the, like, don't call back in because we get a lot of people that are, like, following up. And it's like, first of all, we're never going to get to it. And second of all, what you want us to, like,
maybe once we're post-racism, we'll get
right.
to those.
Right,
maybe.
Right,
maybe.
Right.
Maybe. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Tawny, Andrew, Guest. Is there a way to do the play Peter Pan without it being racist? Because Tiger Lily, I mean, you can make them kind of Polynesian and say other nonsense words besides Ugawa, but I don't know if that's better. But they still keep doing it at schools and stuff. So, yeah, is that racist? Because it kind of seems racist.
Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You guys ever been in a production of Peter Pan?
No, I have not.
Actually.
Can I have a quick refresher of
So there's Peter Pan?
That's Tiger
got
Lily.
It. Got it.
Just straight up fake Native American.
Yeah, it's basically
character.
Like they're in Neverland. Among the citizens, the people of Neverland mm-hmm. are a city of Native American stereotypes?
Yeah.
Is that fair
uh-huh.
to say?
Yeah, they're a nation of...
of stereotypes.
Stereotypes?
Of like red face ass stereotypes.
Of nothing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess the Ugawug is... I think there's a musical number that's basically that.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It's also
Tiger
like...
Tiger Lily's a vague love interest for Peter Pan.
Slash damsel in distress. Like Captain Hook snatches her and kidnaps her. She's helpless. She's a... trophy.
Wow.
There's so uh-huh. much wrong with it.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never been in a production, nor have I seen a new... Did you see... There was the new movie, Peter Pan. Didn't that just come out? Is that
yeah.
related to that
yeah.
at all?
I wonder what they did. Didn't... Isn't Rooney Mara playing that
yes.
role?
Yes.
Jamie Foxx is
what
in
they,
it.
What
That's
they went ahead and did is the worst thing, which is just make a white lady.
Did they make her fake indigenous?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I guess, like, slightly more respectful... Slightly less like caricatured costumes would be.
I feel like this is like relevant to a lot of old movies, you know, that are still being put on.
Yeah.
That.
And I was just reminded, I just glanced at a synopsis because I was like, what? I remember they tied her to a rock so that, and, you know, what's his name? Hook is like trying to get her to tell them where something is. So she takes this like vow of silence. I remember that was a big thing. Like Tiger Lily's like, I'm not going to speak. And that's what enrages him and makes him scream at her. So like the main function of this woman is to be kidnapped, tied to something, not talk.
Silent.
Yeah, just silent and waiting to be rescued.
Kinda racist for sure.
Yeah.
What should they do instead? Yeah, because schools still put this on. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, schools doing it.
I'm guessing her kid is like literally maybe chosen to be the tiger. Yeah. Tiger Lily.
Mm-hmm.
But what could they do differently though? Like just completely change.
Yeah, I mean, like all the song and language shit has to go. Like if we're gonna still do the show, you just got to scrub it all out.
Right.
And if you're a parent at one of these schools and they're going to put it up, like you got to confront that before the second they announce like the spring musical.
Yeah.
Just come in with a list.
Right. Because now we're just perpetuating like these are fresh kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to, you know, wake them up.
What about the more general version of this? This came up a little bit over the holidays when there was that Nutcracker question, which I think we came down on different sides on. But it's like, so obviously, like, because we have lived in such a racist-ass culture for so long, like, so many of our quote-unquote classics have racist shit in them.
Oh, for sure.
I, as maybe someone who's too interested in burning everything down, I'm just like, are they really that fucking important? Like,
yeah.
To me, it's like, just don't do Peter Pan or, you know, I'm a little bit of the same opinion of like, everyone reads Huck Finn in ninth grade, right?
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? It's the sentence structure is complicated, but the ideas the sentence structure is simple. The ideas, unfortunately, are not what 14-year-olds can handle, and like most white 14-year-olds can handle. So, like, you can't teach Huck Finn, in my opinion, without a fucking, like, 2-year sociology class beforehand.
Yeah.
Plus, teachers and be letting all the little white kids say the N-word when they're reading chapters aloud. Yeah. So.
Are you serious?
Don't you remember that? Yeah. Didn't they do that in your class?
No, they didn't do that. I read Of Mice and Men, Raisin in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can remember.
But it's all that stuff where you're like, this is, guess what? Like, it's pretty clear. Like fucking young white kids and young pride kids of all kinds can't really handle this shit correctly.
Yeah.
Even though it's easy to read or a classic or whatever. But the same thing. I'm just like, is this a classic? What's fucking in here that's so fucking
that's
vital?
That's the whole thing about like, you know, diving into the whole aspect of the education system or whatever. There are some things that should be switched out for like newer ideas. And more obviously like it's 2019 and there are... We need to open the minds of these kids a little more and take away. I agree with the kind of the burning down the, you know.
For this one, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't need.
What's the like, value
do we
of
need
it?
A Peter Pan? Is it that much of a classic that we need this like third grade class?
Yeah.
You know what
to
I mean?
Think about it at all. But I'm right there with Nutcracker too, so don't listen to me.
Well, my thing with Nutcracker was just purely sentimental, and I'm sure somebody has that about Peter Pan, but it's just not me.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's last name is Pan.
We should write
fun facts.
A musical about her.
We should just write her in. Like it should just now be about Asian.
Yeah.
It's a land called Always, Always Land where women of color have always had to grow up ahead of their time.
Exactly.
And so there's just these like 10-year-old ass full adult business owner, you know, land owning women that run this town. Not a lot of adventure happens there, but like your bills are paid.
Right.
And your taxes are done.
Yeah.
I feel like you're,
and marches.
I feel like this could be like a pretty good Key and Peele sketch you're pitching
well,
right now.
Well, at least I'm not pitching actual ones thinking I came up with it like the other week.
No. But yeah, just I would advise the mom to be like, hey, what if we did this instead?
Mm-hmm. It's just like, something. Listen, I have all ready to go. I wrote Green Book the musical, so just to put this on.
just tell her mom to bust out her personal screenplay she's been working on for 3 years.
Yeah.
How about the kids do this?
I know it's tough, though, when you have kids, though, that want to be in the school play, and there's, like, one. And so if you're making your kids stay out of the school play because it's racist, just try and enroll them in community theater. Just get them in a
give them something else to do.
In the Heights or
YouTube.
Something.
Just
or
get your kid a YouTube channel.
That's the most important thing.
That I will vehemently stand against. That does not teach children the magic of theater.
What's up,
teach
guys?
Them the discipline.
Literally. What's up, guys? My mom won't let me be in the racist play.
Get your kid a microphone. They can do ASMR.
Yeah.
Earn money that way.
It is more marketable. But the theater teaches discipline and restraint and stepping into someone's shoes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Just going to let Tawny have her love for the theater.
I know.
The theater!
All right. Okay, here's the last voicemail.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. I am an African-American woman. I recently was hanging out with my friend who is Asian and white. And for the second time, she told me that the two job offers that I got were probably because they needed to fill their diversity quota.
Cool.
So obviously there's no question of if that's racist. The issue is she noticed that she offended me and told a mutual friend that I should reach out to her for an apology.
Mm.
A, I don't feel like I should be doing the legwork when you offended me, but I don't know if I'm making too much of a big deal out of this. So two questions. Should I reach out to her? And if I do, how do I address this? I don't want to come off as the angry Black girl. So thank you. Love the show.
Oof.
Wait, the Asian white girl wants an apology?
No. I think she's saying like, well, if she's so upset, she should let me know
out.
And then I'll apologize.
Got it.
One of those either
way, though,
fucking things.
Either way. It's almost just as bad. No, it's not just as bad, but fuck this girl.
What?
Yeah, don't reach out to her.
So
don't reach out to her.
I feel like I'm shitting on Hapa women a lot, which I'm sure is a problem. But
well, they're the ones getting told on in these voicemails, so we're really just shitting on the villains of these voicemails.
I mean, look, the socio-political thing is that a lot of Hapa women can pass for white,
right,
and use that and internalize that and become look. There's lots of shitty Asian people. Right. I just labeled this voicemail shitty Asian.
the spinoff podcast.
Wait, Sherry, people get mad at me because they're like, you spend too much time talking shit about Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
I think you're just speaking your mind. I mean, I think
I put you on the spot.
In this case, in her case, honestly, that was just even a shitty, fucked up thing to say as a friend, as a fucking person. Like, basically, you didn't deserve that. You just got it because you're Black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just a fucked up thing to say, period. Mm-hmm. Even if the other person was... that's just, like, annoying. I'm like, what the fuck? don't be mean.
But, girl's not your friend caller. Like,
I don't know. It's fucked up. Yeah, the whole legwork thing. Like, why would she have to reach out and tell her why this is the reason I'm hurt?
Yeah.
If anything, I feel like homegirl is just waiting for... her to say something so she can fucking be defensive about it or something.
Because her apology is going to come defensively, because if she was actually going to reach out to you and apologize, she'd have to do some thinking about how and when, and she'd have to put work in. But the fact that she's doing this passive thing where she's filtering it through a mutual friend, because she knows it's going to get back to you.
Right.
So that you then have to reach out and go, here's why this hurt me. Then you're going to get one of these like, well, I hear that, but, you know, you're going to get one of those apologies.
Right.
We've all had friends.
Well, I didn't mean it like that.
What I was really trying to say, but I get why you're hurt, and it's not going to improve your friendship. So I think your silence says...
it's just not your friend. No. Also, in case this is the other part of it, which is like she's one of those Asian people that is really against affirmative action, fuck you. Like, that shit is only some white supremacist bullshit. any Asian person that is like railing against affirmative action is just like a pawn for the white man. Fuck you. God, I hate them so much. It's also like 40% of Asian people.
Right. I mean, back to you talking shit about Asians.
Yeah.
You know, all we can do is, like, when we come across a situation, is just try and educate. I find myself doing that a lot, like, even with my mom, to be honest, you know? I'm constantly like, okay, so, you know, B means bisexual, you know what I mean? I really want to open up her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is they weren't as exposed to all these new progressive things, you know, them growing up. So,
do you think that works? It distinctly does not work with my personal family. So I'm honestly, that's a big reason why I do this.
Right.
I'm genuinely curious.
I've been trying, you know, Because, yeah, my mom was very much like, oh, we came to America and she just works hard, you know, give her daughter a good life. Like, that's all she was focused on. Mm-hmm. She wasn't, you know, listening to podcasts, you know what I mean? Like, to get woke, truthfully.
Yeah.
So then now that, you know, the more we learn and the more we absorb, you know, what's right and wrong, like, I can't have my mom be one of those people who don't, like, grasp, even with, like, the voting thing, you know? Like, I was with my mom and her friends, and no one voted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, you understand why it's important. Like, mm-hmm. you know, are they going to vote? I don't know. But the point is I voiced it, yeah. and now they know, yeah. you know, this is who we don't like. you yeah. know what I mean? You have to at least just have that conversation. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm actively working to suppress my parents' votes, so it's sort of a different thing.
That's a different thing. Oh, got it. I think if they're remotely,
if their minds are turnable, it's worth it.
Yeah, mine just don't. Yeah, I guess it's just different. But
yeah, take the temperature of, like, should I encourage you to vote? I feel like my dad has definitely gotten more progressive in his old age and has been trying to. My dad likes to win at things. Sure. So if winning at being, like, the most left and woke is his new thing lately, I'm like, great.
We'll take it.
That's a good one. But he has some fucked up, probably similarly, like, he didn't come from another country, but just, like, growing up a black guy and, like, being in the army and getting his ass beat because they lived in weird neighborhoods in the South and stuff. He, you know, was so focused on, like, self-preservation and self. And then maybe outside of that, it's like, okay, other black people. But then that's it. Like, he's not really checking for any people of any other colors because he came up what he feels like just fighting for his own shit. So now, like, those are little things that I like to point out where it's like, my dad used to hate Africans. Like, any African, like, if there was a Nigerian cab driver or something, my dad's talking shit about them. And I'm like, they are us just over there. What's wrong with you?
Right.
One time he said to me, and he was half joking, but half not. My dad said, I don't trust Africans because they didn't come looking for us. Is that not the most insane thing?
Oh, man.
It's kind of a funny way to phrase that.
It's sort of. This is everything my dad says.
That's
it's
so
half
fucked up.
Hysterical and half also like, you cannot say these things out loud. So then I said it on a podcast.
Exactly.
But, nice.
But there are. But that is why I feel like it's worth, because I know what he wants to be in his mind, and so it's worth me educating him.
Totally.
Because he does absorb 60% of it.
Right. So, right.
I guess that's something.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm probably lucky in the parents department in that way because there's plenty of parents who won't.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. I feel like I'm lucky too. Like, they are, at least they have an open ear, you know what I mean? For whatever I need to say. So,
man, sure. I feel a little bad. I feel like we dropped. Usually there's one funnier voicemail in the mix.
Oh, no, it's fine.
These were all I like a good heavy balance. As shit.
No, this is amazing. I'm happy to. It made me think a little bit too, you know, about all of that and stuff. And
well,
you know.
That's what we're here to, is just make our guests have to think.
There were some laughs.
If you want, you can weigh in on the Taco Bell question. We recently had someone tweet about it, and all these people started paying attention.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if you're listening, new to the show because of the Taco Bell question, we can kind of restate it, which was a white guy called in and was like, is it racist that they always give me mild sauce at the Taco Bell?
Just no question, just handing him the mild sauce.
I mean...
Hot sauce ain't that hot at Taco Bell, guys.
I remember there was this time I was at this restaurant and they literally have like a whole line of hot sauces. And then I was like, oh, can I please have some hot sauce? And they were like, oh, sriracha?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, no, Cholula, actually. But like, people assume it's very interesting. Like, do I think it was racist to give the white guy mild sauce?
Mm-hmm. I wish that look could be just still.
Oh, man. Let's just leave it at that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? That's a question that we'll continue to ask through the next 100 episodes
of
Yo, Is This
Racist?
That's
for the next year. Sherry Cola, can you tell people where they can see, hear, read more of you?
Find me on Instagram, Sherry Cola, and everything's there pretty much. But thank you for having me.
This is seriously so
fun, and I'd love to come back. Yeah.
Please.
Come back and we'll make sure to give you like very
lighthearted. We'll have some big fun. We'll do something fun this time.
I had fun. No, this is, we have to spread the good word, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Sherry motherfucking Cola.
That was her, and that was us, and now we're all back. I feel like I'm pretending to be in the room with you right now.
Yeah. Well, you're an Ekator. You're an,
Yes.
You have an accomplished Akatagoria.
Oh, no. Do I have to say it like that?
Yeah. Wait, you didn't learn that in acting school? Weird. Weird how I learned that, thinking about acting school. Tani's busy. You're very busy this week, so we'll keep this short. I don't know. Was there anything else we normally say to people?
Oh, thank you to one of our fans on Twitter who expressed interest in my story about going to high school with Papa Roach. I'm sad that this wasn't like more of a groundswell of support for people wanting to hear my story. I find that odd. And I just want to thank the one brave soul who spoke up and demanded more interesting content, which is me talking about how Jacoby's mom ran the flower shop, I believe, at near Merchant in Maine. So,
oh boy, save it for the Audible miniseries or whatever. I guess if I'm even making that joke, I should say Stitcher Premium miniseries. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, save it. It's going to go somewhere.
Just know that it will come out in the future. You will all be rewarded. You'll be thanking me.
Papa's Roach. Watch Brockmire. Now, yeah, I'm going to reiterate this. So many more of you listen to this now than follow us on fucking Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Andrew T., Trondi Newman, Yo, Is This Racist? Call in 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. Thanks to Sherry Cola for being so great and funny and amazing. Anything else?
Thank you to all of you. We love you. Check out that merch at podswag.com/yo.
Yeah. Oh, I got an email. Apparently, we did a promo where I said go fill out the survey, but didn't tell people where the survey is. Is the survey still happening, Zig? It's podsurvey.com/yo. So go do that.
Maybe listen to more than one episode of our show, kind friend, and you'll know where it is. Do I have to say everything every episode? Probably.
I think that's how the advertising works.
Stand alone. You're right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, valid. That's a valid critique.
But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for continuing to tell all your friends about us. That also really helps us out a lot. We really appreciate it.
Steal their phone, subscribe to our show. It hurts literally no one.
Mm-hmm. It helps them for sure. Let's Tani, go out there and keep it real in New York City. And it's so hot in LA right now. I'm just gonna go sweat.
It's a little warm. Go enjoy that sweat. Yeah. All right, guys. I'm gonna go stroll around with a bike basket full of flowers. Is that what you do in Manhattan in the spring?
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Today, right when you're listening to this, 43% of college grads work underpaying jobs that don't require a degree, while 200,000 tech jobs go unfilled in high growth industries across the United States.
Ooh, United States. Flatiron School can give you the skills to build a career you love and the skills to pronounce it cool like Andrew just did.
They have a whole class on that. With courses in software engineering, data science, and UX and UI design, Flatiron helps students succeed in the modern workforce.
Learn more at flatironschool.com/yo. You guys just do it.
Please.
Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. You know I got that Lisa standard. It's the most popular multi-layer foam mattress. It's made with premium foams for cooling, contouring, and pressure-relieving support. I got that multi-layer foam. I said, I don't need no hybrid. Give me the original. I like to try the original recipe I go with
Not how old Andrew rolls. Andrew rolls with the Lisa Superior Hybrid Mattress. That's Superior. I think I said Suspiria in the longer ad, but that's okay. It was just a brain typo. Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. One end of that mattress, just as pressure relieving as the other end, is incredible. Superior is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds. And again, can't stress this enough. I'm actually relaxed sleeping on this thing. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. So guys, don't miss out. Live healthier, live happier, rest deeper.
Rest deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at leesa.com/yo and also use promo code yo. That's Y-O. It's the first. It's the first.
They get it.
From the title of the show.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.